Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22, we read of the account of the rich young ruler who came to Christ asking a very important question. Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And upon being told to sell his possessions and give to the poor, and because of his obvious attachment to his wealth, the man went away sorrowful. He came close to being saved, but not all the way. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 3, it tells of the 10 virgins awaiting the coming of the bridegroom and the marriage celebration. 5 had made adequate preparation and entered into the feast, but 5 others, although they had made some preparation, had not prepared sufficiently and were refused entrance. They almost did enough, but not quite. Felix and Agrippa, in Acts chapter 24 and also 26, had opportunity to obey the gospel and enjoy salvation. But for one, the convenient season never came, and the other was merely almost, but not altogether, saved. There are many things about these accounts that are different, but there is one theme in them that is similar, and it leaves us cold and it leaves us disappointed. We have an unanswered longing on their behalf and wish that someone could take action for them, recalling for them that significant moment in their lives when they could have been prepared to meet God. Their refusal and postponement strikes us with sadness and emptiness, realizing now their present hopelessness. They could have been counted among the saved, but they let the opportunity come and pass them by, and did not take advantage of what was offered them. They all seemed to be obsessed with the idea that there was plenty of time yet for them to do what they must do. In these three people, we have examples of people who had some interest in Christ and possessed a momentary conviction. But like an aircraft zooming through the clouds, emerging for just a moment into the brilliant rays of the sun, only to be lost again amidst the overcast, these people appeared for a moment in the light of opportunity, then disappeared again, and forever away from the rays of hope. One of the most significant and effective weapons in the arsenal of the devil is to deceive man and plead with him that he has plenty of time. There's the fictitious story of three evil spirits standing before Satan. And Satan asks, "Who will go and persuade men to accomplish their own ruin? And how will you do it?" Well, one said he will go and tell man there's no heaven. But Satan concluded that the goodness of God cannot be hidden. Another said he would tell mankind there is no hell. But Satan knew that justice demands both reward and punishment, and thinking people would not accept that plea. A third said he would simply tell man there is heaven, there is hell, and preparation must be made, but there's no hurry about it. There's plenty of time yet. Friend, nobody could tell you a more deadly lie than to leave you with the impression you had plenty of time to be saved. Two boys were walking across a frozen river on ice, but the portion on which they stood broke away from the bank and began drifting toward the center of the current. One jumped quickly to a more solid footing. The other delayed. He hesitated, only to be carried into the deep, cold waters and to his death. He was going to be all that a mortal could be tomorrow. No one should be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who would be glad of a lift and who needed it too. On him he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he'd stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow and thought of the folks he would fill with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was busy today. He hadn't a minute to stop on his way. More time he'd have to give others, he'd say, tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view, and all that was left here when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. Dear listening friend, tomorrow is like a chain that binds people to some loathsome habit. It is a barred and bolted door shutting people from their dreams. It is the epitaph of graves of those who failed and came short of life's goals. It is a downward path that only leads us to the land of regret, a word engraved over the realm of the lost. Tomorrow is a slumber that paralyzes the energies of men, that call that men to forsake their duty. It is a sword of destruction, and upon which we often fall. It's a word of the tempter. It's the deceiver of mankind. Now Jesus said, in John 9 and verse 4, "We must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." His words inspired the sentiments of the song, "Work, for the night is coming." Yes, friend, the night is coming. Now is the day. Now is the time of opportunity. If we have not worked in the day, we are hopelessly lost. If we refuse the opportunity to be saved, it may never return to us again. And the young are so susceptible to this deception. They live at a period of life when all seems to be in the future, and life seems to be unending. But what guarantee do even the young have for another day? James says life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, James 4 and verse 13. Do we realize that on the other side of the world, even as you hear these words, there are weapons that can terminate our earthly existence before we can even know it is upon us? Our life is uncertain. The only certain fact about life is that it shall end. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, "For the living know that they shall die." Doubtless, Solomon had such in mind when he instructed the young to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. The present is all that any of us can claim. We probably do not consider the blessing of time as we ought. There are two ways of looking at time. One, as water from a fountain, forming an endless stream in abundance, giving pleasure, something with which to play and to be enjoyed, or looking at it as men adrift on the high seas, or crossing a desert, who realize that every drop of water they have is life. Someone has suggested that time is the substance from which life is made. Poor Richard Almanac included, "Dost thou live life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff from which life is made." We can hardly place a proper value on time. It is not to be wasted. It is to be used. William Jennings Bryan was one of the world's greatest orators, and he won the nomination of his party for the presidency three times around the turn of the 20th century. It is generally accepted that his golden speeches before huge crowds carried the day for him. But after one such speech, one commented that he had probably spoken even more brilliantly to smaller groups than his speeches at the conventions. But then Brown added, "That may well be true. But the convention was my opportunity, and I made the most of it." Well, like him, we must appreciate the value of now. Now is the day that's open to us. Hosea 10 and verse 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Friends, shall we wait too long to appreciate the present until the blessings of opportunity pass us by? A prisoner awaiting execution was the son of a poet who had tried to show his son the Bible. But he had ignored his father. But in his last days he read and he studied and he prayed, and he found what life could have been. And his last words were, "My regret is beyond my power to express. All once looked forward with hope and joy to what I was to become. Now every mother and father prays their child will never be what I have become. I did not seize my opportunity when it was before me." Carlyle wrote, "Cherish what is dearest while you have it near, and wait not until it is far away." But more important than any writing of men are the words of divine inspiration. Ephesians 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Hebrews 3, verses 12, 13, and 15. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." What is it, friend, that we all have that's so valuable and precious? God offers us our time, those things which belong to our peace, especially our spiritual peace for the soul. We have an open door through which we're invited to pass that takes us into the room of salvation and every spiritual blessing. Many before us have entered. Those on Pentecost, the Samaritans, the Ethiopian, Lydia, Saul, Cornelius, the jailer, and countless others of whom we read in Scripture. Asking what they must do to be saved, they were told to believe, to repent, to confess their faith in Christ, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. They did as they were taught. They seized their opportunity while the hand of Jesus was still extended toward them. Now, friend, this warning should sober us. Every rejection shortens the day of opportunity. Every refusal makes the heart less responsive to the call of God as given in the gospel. Astronomers tell us of heavenly bodies whose orbits draw them nearer and nearer toward each other. They approach the closest point, and then they turn away. And thereafter, every second, every minute, every hour finds them further apart. And so it is with mankind in his response to God. We can draw nearer and nearer to him, but delay, postponement, refusal to enter his service forces us to drift further and further away from God and to the soul's eternal damnation. I plead with you. Today is the key to success, the ladder by which we can climb to heights sublime. Today is the sunlight that brightens the pathway of happiness. Today is the sword with which we can smite temptation. It is as a voice that calls us from slumber that would otherwise be fatal. Today is that which the redeemed recognize as their advantage and blended it with eternity. Little wonder that Paul urged, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." Psalm 119, 57 through 60. "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." The golden moment of salvation is before us. It is here, now. Tomorrow is the devil's weapon. Will you not accept the invitation of Christ to come to him, obeying his commands, being added to the company of the saved, which is his kingdom, the church? As the song says, "Why do you wait?" This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.